Do you know, one of the hardest things for me, well, it's not one of the hardest things, it is the hardest thing for me, is to stand here and preach. I get so nervous because the message from God is such a it's such a precious thing, and it's something to be done with humility. So my prayer this morning is, in some way, as I talk to you, really, I don't think I'm much of a preacher, I'm a talker, that in some way you will get a little something from this reading. And I wonder, when you heard this reading, what struck you about it? What stood out for you? Perhaps not today, but when you've read it in or heard it in the past, what stood out for you? Well, when I was in my 30s, a young Christian, not knowing much about Jesus except that I'd fallen in love with him, that was about all I knew, I went to see my gran. Now, my gran, my father's mother, was the person who'd looked after me during every school holiday because my mum used to work. But just about a year before she died, with me as a young Christian, she asked me a question. And she said, "Leslie, how do you know where you're going when you die?" And all I could answer was, "Gran, I don't know. I just know that I go to heaven. I just know." And I couldn't really give her the assurance from the Word of God because I didn't know it well enough. I didn't know that if I searched my Gospels, I could find an answer that might help her. Well, about a year later, she was obviously very near the point of death. And in the week before she died, this reading from John 14 was read at the morning service. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, there's the message from my gran. She can hear those words of comfort and assurance from Jesus' own lips. On the following Sunday, and during that week actually, I had that reading twice more. One from my own daily readings midweek, and another when I went to a special service. And I think that's how God works in me so often. Just in case I haven't heard the first time, he tries a second time, and a third one, he might be lucky. So I got that message. And on the Sunday morning, I got a phone call from the home that she was living in Nantwich, to say that Gran wouldn't live out the day. Well, I was already planning to go and see her. So we did. We went. And I took my Bible with me. When we got there, me with my two young children and husband, we tried to get in to see her, and the matron said, "You can go in, but the children can't." And I said, "Yes, they want to see their gran. You have a fear of death. My children don't, and you are putting their fear, your fears, upon them." And so we went in. What I didn't expect was to be confronted with her five sons, including my own father, sitting around the room. So the children had a little word. She was actually not with us. She was in a coma. But they said their goodbyes and they went off. And then I sat on her bed. And I started to say, "Gran, you know, last year you asked me a question. How do you know where you're going when you die. And Grant, I couldn't give you that answer then, but I have one for you now. And when I got to that point, my father said, who was a persecutor of my faith, said, "She can't hear you, so you might as well stop." So then I said, "Gran, if God wants you to hear this message, you will hear it." And so I began again. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." And there I stopped, because that was the answer to my grand's question, from Jesus himself, that he was going to prepare a place for her. A place for her. And that when the time was right, he would come and take her to be with him. I then left, and half an hour later she died. I believe she died in peace, because she heard the words from Jesus that she needed to hear. Mine is a simplistic faith. I took it that Jesus would come back and meet her on the way as she died, to take her to be with himself. But of course, as I've grown in my Christian faith, I know actually it means a bit more than that, because Jesus was talking about his coming again, the second coming, when all would bow the knee. But at that point, I was giving a message to my gran that she badly needed to hear. And as I begun to do funerals and people choose a reading, I've had to use this reading very often. I don't tell them that story about Gran. I think I might have done once, but otherwise I don't. I try and get across to them that Jesus, in this passage, is giving them comfort and assurance. And isn't that what we all need throughout our lives? Comfort and assurance. Assurance that we are on the right path. Jesus then went on to say in the gospel, as he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he knew what the disciples were feeling. This passage takes place at the Last Supper. It's actually called, commonly, the farewell disclosure, and actually goes on for two chapters. We start at John 13. We read it last week from verse 31. But it goes, he keeps on talking, disclosing to his disciples what's going to happen, until the end of chapter 17, where he finishes with a prayer for his disciples. This wasn't an uncommon thing for people to do, especially in Judaism. There was quite a number of great men and women, including Jacob was one of them, who would give a long talk to those whom he loved, who were close to him. It was believed that near to the point of death, people would receive a gift of prophecy. And that was part of that disclosure when they said their farewells, that they would tell them what might be happening in the future. they would tell them how they were to live out their lives. And sometimes they would pray for them. And this is the pattern that Jesus uses in his disclosure from John 13 to 17 to his disciples. He was trying to give them that comfort and assurance, but it was telling them where to put it. Where do they put their faith? And so he continues, believe in God, believe also in me. His followers did believe in God, and they were coming to believe in the Son of God. And this is where he told them they would find that assurance, by belief in him. He then tells them where he's going, to his Father's house, which in that time, as it does now, refers to heaven, or sometimes the temple in Jerusalem, but also the temple of the body of Christ. And what does he say to them? I told you that I go to prepare a place for you. It's a personal message to his disciples who were there with him in that upper room. But it's also a personal message for everyone who follows Christ. When we believe in him, just believe in him and all that he's done on the cross for each and every one of us, we know our salvation, and we know that that salvation is sure. Because when we make that confession of faith, we are actually saying what we believe in. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? He doesn't just say, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He's telling them he's going to die. They don't really understand. They don't really know what's going to happen, as it's shown when Thomas asks the question. He doesn't ask the question, where are you going, actually. He says, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Well, firstly, Jesus has just said, I will come and take you to myself. But then he goes on to say a very controversial, as it has become, sentence. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, actually, they don't know, do they? They show it so often at that point that they're confused. They are troubled in their heart. And later in that discourse, Jesus goes on again to say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Whatever your circumstances, do not be troubled. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And he's in us through the working of the Holy Spirit. Later on in that discourse, he tells them that hearing this message that he's going to die should bring them joy, not sorrow. Because then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come and disclose all the truth to them. It's not an easy way, is it? It was never an easy way to follow Christ. After his death in the first century, the early Christians were called the Way. People recognized that through their faith they were persecuted, and Jesus himself says that, you know, you're going to be persecuted. But they still went on, following Jesus and trying to preach the gospel of salvation to others. In Acts 14, Peter, the one who denied him in chapter 13 of this gospel, says, as he spoke to the crowd, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Peter was absolutely certain that their way was the only way, because Jesus had said it and they believed it. In this world today, we are in a mixed economy of faith. And people try to persuade Christians, and many have been persuaded, that we can come to God in different ways. But that isn't what Jesus said. And there lies the controversy, because Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." I would encourage you all to actually read that disclosure. It takes some time because there's a lot in it. His message, final message to his disciples whilst he was living. And as you read it, picture Jesus speaking to you. I'm now going to close with a prayer. It's a prayer that's actually been put in what we call the cycle of prayer for the Chester Diocese for today, encouraging us to work on our faith and what we believe throughout the Lent period. But it's not just the Lent period, is it? It's for always. It's a very old prayer, written by, I can't pronounce his first name, Desiderius Erasmus, in 1468 to 1536 was when he lived. Not quite sure when he actually wrote the prayer. So let us pray. Jesus, Saviour, the way, the truth, and the life for us all, fix our steps on your path, our minds on your truth, and our hopes on your life. May your Holy Spirit inspire our faith, direct our action, and sustain our wills. Amen.
Going to sing our next hymn, which is Mission Praise 456, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."